Our gospel today is from the Gospel of John. The gospel stands on its own. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, because he abides in you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." May we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news. How many of you are going to watch the season finale, or the show finale of Lost tonight? Raise your hands. Oh, come on, there's more than two people in this whole congregation. Three, okay, all right. How about the show finale of 24 tomorrow night? Oh, okay, I'm among friends. Okay. If you don't get into any of these shows right at the beginning, it's really hard to get into these shows. The plot is really complex. The characters are complex. The subplots are just too many to count. The words sometimes are hard to understand. They have code words or nuances that unless you pick them up along the way, you don't get it. There's symbols. They all have their rituals and sorts of rites of passage or clues that things are going to be happening. The characters have multiple layers of relationships, and they struggle with the relationships and decisions and who is in, who is out, what's right, what's wrong, how far am I going to go with whatever it is. And if somebody had walked in, like in the middle of the season or in the middle of an episode, it would be really hard to catch them up on what's going on, to try and explain the details to them of all the nuances in the show. And in fact, sometimes it would be quite annoying to have to do that, because in order to do that while the show is going on, you miss a lot of it. So people either tend to get in them or out of them. But the reason that I believe we get into these kinds of shows, whether it's these two or some of the other long-standing series that have been on and some of the reality shows, is that they speak something to us about life, something very deep in all of us that wants to make meaning. And I want to read you two very short things that I found about each of the shows. One of these is on the Lost finale cheat sheet, which I found on the internet. It says, "Lost is not simply about a plane crashing on a mysterious island. It cannot be classified as pure science fiction or jungle adventure or any other number of genres. There are numerous philosophical ideas at the core of Lost, but distilling the series into one idea isn't just a daunting task, it's a virtually impossible one. But that won't stop Michael Emerson, who plays Benjamin Linus on the hit series, from trying. On the surface, Lost seems to be a universal survival adventure. But as it goes along, it becomes revealed to be much more than that. A science fiction and time travel drama, an allegory of sin and redemption, and past lives and hope for the future. And about 24 in the book, 24 and Philosophy, it says, in many respects, the dramatic intensity and real-time elements of 24 help illuminate philosophical problems and dilemmas that philosophers have thought about for centuries, but which continue to be relevant across new and changing contexts. The question of how should we live is as old as philosophy itself. Socrates asks us, what is the good life? A contentious question that has sparked inquiry, debate, and a vast array of responses from philosophers over the centuries. How do you know when to trust someone? How much evidence do you need in order to believe someone? And what is the difference between belief and knowledge? Those are all key questions that we ask ourselves as people of faith. The early church asked those questions as people trying to figure out what this man Jesus, what his death and resurrection was all about. And they struggled with the questions. And it was really hard for them to share the story for people who had not witnessed the events right then and there, who had not walked and talked with Jesus, who had not seen the crucifixion, who had not partaken or experienced any of the resurrection appearances. To try to explain that to the followers is a virtually impossible task. And that is what the church has been struggling with for the last 2,000 years. How do we make sense of this? What is this about? For those of us who have paid attention in church history, which I did half pay attention, would have learned more if I'd fully paid attention and probably had Dr. Pay, but that's another topic. The church has gone through periods, significant periods, of reviewing what does this all mean. Phyllis Tickle, who's a current author in her book, The Great Emergence, says that the church goes through sort of a general house cleaning about every 500 years. Okay? The Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, the Reformation. And now, she says, we are at the beginning of another such time. A time when the church figures out what is it about? What is important that we keep and hold on to and express what this meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is about? What old forms don't serve us anymore? And how do we speak to those people outside these walls? We all know the code languages. We know the scriptures. We know the rituals. We know the symbols. But there are people outside these walls who don't and who long to know what the love of God is about. And what guided the church through all of these major changes, the turbulent ones and the times in between the turbulence, has been the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as I was thinking about this and preparing for this sermon, is really sort of God's GPS. Okay? No matter what happens, the Holy Spirit is present. And in all ages of the church, in every age of the church, the Holy Spirit was there. And how was the Holy Spirit there? In scripture, in worship, in prayer, and in community, and in dialogue. It took different forms. It happened in different places. Some were very contentious. Some were very mild, but it continued. And when the church lost its focus, the Holy Spirit stirred things up. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. I believe we're on the start of such a house cleaning and the Holy Spirit stirring things up for us. helping us make meaning, not only in the church, but in all the events of what's happening in our world. We're all asking, what does it mean? What are our core values? And how do we live that out in this world? Are we merely keepers of the aquarium, the church, the world as it is, or are we fishers of men and fishers of women? Two entirely different things. And in it all, the Holy Spirit works. I believe there is too much chaos in this world for the Holy Spirit not to be here. The Holy Spirit has to be mixing things up. The early church, when they started, on the day of Pentecost, if you will, or however you want to view the start of the church, the disciples and all those people with the different languages, as they heard the Spirit speaking, okay, were on fire, were intense, just felt like they really got it. As human beings, as time went on, as they read Scripture and the letters and Paul was sending a lot of corrective letters. It didn't take a long time for the church to get caught up in details, like who's in, who's out, what words do we use to describe this, what words do we use to describe that, what does this all mean? In fact, if you look at that Acts story again that Barry read today, there's four words in there that I think are very easy to overlook in sort of the excitement of the rest of the story. And the words are, what does this mean? Even the people who experienced that day or that time asked, what does this mean? They all had the same experience of the Spirit. But because they were different people, they made different meanings, and they needed to hear what that meant from all the others. And I wonder if maybe that's more what the voices were about than maybe perhaps speaking actually in different languages. Because your voice of experience and your voice of experience and everyone here's voice of experience is different, but we all have something to say about the experience of God in our lives that we need to hear from the other. And it is only in prayer and worship and scripture and conversation and community that we come to know what all this means at this time and place in our life. We are struggling as the church did for centuries. There's nothing new going on in that sense. People of God struggling. But what is new is that we don't know how our particular struggle is going to turn out. God is doing a new thing with us, individually and collectively. The Holy Spirit is busy in our lives, turning things up, calling us, changing us. And we'll do that if we allow it. It's not about just being nice people. It's about letting ourselves be radically transformed so that we can't help but go out and tell people and show people by our lives just how much God loves us. And the Holy Spirit's GPS works in all of those conversations, in all of the ups and downs, and all of the doubts and questions. The Holy Spirit is there, guiding, and is the GPS. I wonder, in 2010, if what the message of Pentecost is indeed that more and more and more, and as much as we possibly can, our voices, touched by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit, need to be heard. We need to ask the questions, what does this mean? Our faith life, our community faith life, how the church works in the world, what the church looks like. What is the Holy Spirit doing now, and what does this mean? If we start arguing about words or rituals or semantics, or who's in and who's out, we become keepers of the aquarium, not the fishers of the people. And God calls us to be the fishers of people. So I want to encourage you on this day, remember, ask always, What does this mean? Your voice needs to be heard. The Spirit is working in you. Ask that. Confirmands, would you just stand wherever you are for a minute? I've known you all for about a little over 7 months now. And as I've come to know you, some better than others, and I've come to know this church, what I know is that each of you have struggled with the question, what does this mean? What does this church, this faith, this Jesus thing mean? Does it mean anything to me? And what I know from my interviews, all my interactions with you, is that you are completely engaged in that question. What does this mean? And today you affirm in front of all of us that the Holy Spirit indeed continues to do a new thing in the church, continues to do a new thing in this world. And your voices and the way you live out your lives are going to be very different than the way your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your parents live. And that is a good and holy thing. If you take anything away from today, I want you to take away the question, what does this mean? Never, ever, ever forget to ask that question. Because if you do constantly ask that question, you will keep yourself open to what God is doing in your lives, in the church, and in the world. And if you do that and listen to the Holy Spirit's GPS, we all will be blessed. The world will be blessed because of you. And we all will be grateful. God bless you. My best to you always. Know that we're all here always for all of you.